Kansas Rural Center has been working tirelessly with the Kiss the Ground promotion team, K-State Research and Extension, special thanks to Margeet, Foundation for Regeneration, Miami County Conservation District, Environmental Protection Agency, Douglas County Conservation District, Kansas Wraps, Lower Kansas River Wraps, and Upper Wakarusa Wraps, to bring the film Common Ground to Lawrence and Overland Park, Kansas this week. As a nonprofit that finds many of the topics covered in Common Ground near and dear to our hearts, we've jumped on the opportunity to help promote these showings. Part of that promotion has come in the form of this podcast interview with Josh and Rebecca Tickell, who directed and produced the film. Enjoy.
Is it just kind of one after another?
It is. I mean,
a real press junket situation.
It's an amazing junket. We've done 76 cities. There are 5,000 requests that have come in through the website.
Awesome.
And I think our plan is to go to 150 cities. So there'll be about 70 cities that we open after the beginning of next year. So Kansas is in good shape because it's you know, it's going to be like the 77th or 78th city. A lot of momentum here. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I saw the screening. They were kind enough to send me an early link. So I'm very impressed. You know, I grew up in a small rural community here in Kansas, and my grandmother kind of spoon-fed me like the book Silent Spring and a lot of ecological information. I don't think my parents were aware of what was going on. But anyways, so I've kind of been raised with a foot on both sides of like large agricultural farming and then a deep caring for the environment. So I just feel like you did such a wonderful job of encompassing both and marrying the two, where I think a lot of times farmers feel vilified and close themselves off from information and change.
Yeah. I mean, I come from a legacy farming family in the Midwest, and I can trace the roots of my family's farming all the way back to the 1700s. And I'm sure it was before that as well. And part of what led us to make this film and call it Common Ground is exactly what you just pointed to, which is that sort of vilification of people who are concerned about pollution and the way that these practices are being done and the idea of it working against nature versus working with nature. But then also really understanding that farmers care about their land and they care about the food that they grow. They care about their neighbors. You know, they're really committed to being able to farm for generations into the future. And it's not farmers' fault that they've been put into this cycle where they are kind of like debt serfs in a way to the chemical companies and to often subsidies and crop insurance and bank loans that require them to pay. And farmers really do want to do the right thing and they don't want to be told how to farm. So really, Common Ground is that bridge. It's a way for people to really understand the plight of the American farmer and to help support them and rally behind them as the real heroes that they truly are, while also giving farmers the tools that they need to be able to get out of that detrimental cycle. And most importantly, for farmers to be able to make a profit while doing it, to take some of that risk that is facing farmers in making that transition from chemical, conventional agriculture towards regenerative organic agriculture.
Yeah, absolutely. Would you consider this as being a follow-up to Kiss the Ground?
Yeah, it's definitely a follow-up to Kiss the Ground. However, you don't have to have watched even one frame from Kiss the Ground to watch Common Ground. Kiss the Ground was made over the course of 7 years, really in the sort of beginning stages of what is regenerative agriculture in mainstream America. And when we started with Common Ground, it was way more advanced, way more science, way more case studies of people who are doing it and showing the success of that transition. And also a smaller team that said, no holds bar. Let's tell the real story. Let's tell the full story. That includes indigenous practices. That includes discrimination against Black farmers in America. That includes farmer suicide rates in the United States and telling farmers' stories. And then all of the incredible, wonderful, abundant information that's now available that shows that farmers make a profit. Over 80% of farmers make a profit within year one of transitioning away from conventional practices. So that's, it's, you know, and it's a journey. It's a, people watch and they're like, wow, it was such a hopeful film. I cried three times. I had no idea I was going to go on this emotional roller coaster, which for us as filmmakers is a real sign of success because, you know, they say like soil, it's as dull as dirt. So how do you make a really compelling, entertaining movie about this story? And audiences over and over and over and over again are saying that we've not only done it, but, you know, they feel that this is one of the most important films of our time. And, you know, we couldn't agree more.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a pretty basic question, but I'm just wondering what kind of got you on this path of passion?
Well, part of the trajectory that we've taken is, you know, we've made 20 films about environmental issues. Interestingly, Kiss the Ground was really the film that took off. You know, we've done oil and alternative energy and biodiesel. And so we've covered agriculture related issues before, but Kiss the Ground really touched a nerve. And I think because Common Ground, as we're showing it there in Kansas, you know, we're showing on the 29th in Lawrence, Kansas at Liberty Hall and December 1st in Kansas City at the Glenwood Arts Theater. You know, we have seen time and time again with Common Ground, this movie, this coming together of agricultural people who are from, you know, what would technically be called flyover states. You know, that's what
I don't call them flyover states.
No, but a lot of coastal folks, will say, well, that's a flyover state, right? And then
how rude of those coastal people.
Well, it is rude. It is rude. But we've seen the opposite, which is from people in the Midwest looking at the coast and going, well, they really don't understand farming. What's cool about Common Ground is it bridges that gap. And so if we're screening in New York, we have questions that Rick Clark is answering in Indiana because he's come out to New York to be at the screening, you know, and here's this soy and corn farmer who has gone regenerative and he's in an audience with a bunch of people who live in Manhattan. And so we have the opposite. We've got screenings happening in the middle of the country and we've got people from the coast coming. And I think what inspired us to go from Kiss the Ground to Common Ground was we knew there was a next level conversation that we could have. And that next level was bringing people together from very different backgrounds and saying, look, soil is the most important issue we can talk about. All of these conflicts globally, ultimately, they relate to resources, they relate to the soil. The things that our country is going through, ultimately it relates to the soil. And the irony is, all this, you know, dissension, the soil is a thing we can all agree on. So we knew we had to make Common Ground. We knew we had to make that the second film. And we knew we had to bring it out to theaters, to places like Lawrence, Kansas, and places like Kansas City. Because
Lincoln, Nebraska.
Yeah, Lincoln, Nebraska, because people are demanding it in the middle of the country as well as the coasts.
Yeah, I hope to see the list in Kansas grow. I'm not sure if you were made aware of this, but Kansas State University is a land-grant university, and they are a sponsor of the Lawrence showings. So we really hope to get there on their campus and Wichita and potentially further west. Those are the bigger cities as we head west into Kansas. But
that is the best news. And, you know, we knew that and we were so excited to hear that because, you know, I believe that these educational institutions really want to educate young people about how to best take care of the soil and how to grow nutrient dense food and, you know, to create these farming legacy families the way that has been done. But so much of that is being able to be open to hearing something outside of the myth, we have to feed the world. And the only way to do that is through this extractive means of producing food in a monocrop way, using tillage, using chemicals. you know, that's an outdated method. And we found out that that's not even true. And, you know, I know that this is a bit of a touchy subject. I mean, this whole film is a touchy subject, as a touchy subject within my own family, who, you know, were part of the no-till movement. And then they started using chemicals. That was sort of the thing to do. And it wasn't because they wanted to harm anyone. It's because they wanted to take care of the soil. And they were taught, this is how you do it. And so the more that land-grant universities begin to embrace these concepts of regeneration, how to best steward the land as a part of nature versus being a force against nature, the more prepared and the more successful the students that go through these universities will be. And so for us, that really, it says so much about the university being willing to host the film, to be a sponsor of the film. I mean, hats off to them. Thank you to them. That's huge. May the rest of the land grant universities in the countries follow in their footsteps.
Yeah. I do have kind of a question that I've been working around myself. I'm a communications for Kansas Rural Centers. How will I get farmers interested, or how will I get the message to them to see the film?
Let people know that they can go on to commongroundfilm.org, and you can see the entire list of screenings on the website, commongroundfilm.org. There's also a request a screening page, and you can demand the film come to your theater. And eventually, in the next year, we'll have a farmer cut of the film that takes away all of the unnecessary politics and talk about, you know, climate change. Like, honestly, really just focuses on what farmers want to get straight into, which is, how can we transition? How do we make a profit from this method of farming? And that will be called the Farmer Cut. It will be 45 minutes long, and it will be free for any farmer that wants to host a screening on their farm. We're calling it the Film on the Farm series. So when things start to warm up again in the spring and people want to go outside, or if they want to host it in their barn, we'll be making that available. You can also sign up on commongroundfilm.org to host a Film on the Farm screening. But, you know, we want to get this into the hands of every farmer that wants it, any farmer that's ready to break free of that debt cycle that they're stuck into, any farmer that really just wants to begin to make a profit within the first year of practicing these regenerative techniques. That's what Common Ground makes available to people. It's a powerful tool to get inspired and to begin that. And maybe a farmer is already practicing regeneration, and they just want to share with their community the incredible work that they're doing, and get them to get on board with supporting their farming practices, to buy their produce, and also to encourage their neighbors to start those practices as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm really excited to hear that. I hope that we can get several farmers around Kansas, and that will definitely be a less intimidating forum for those who might be intimidated by traveling to the city in general, but then also going to a film where they might feel criticized, which, again, you did not criticize farmers in the film. And I think that was wonderful.
My dad is in the film. My dad is a farmer. My dad has been a farmer since his whole life. He used to stand in vats of DDT and 2,4-D at the age of 12 years old. And he was out there in the farm tilling, you know, all of that. And so you can imagine the conversations we had when we told him that we were going to be making films about farming. And he's in the film, and you see him in the film buying chemicals, and you see him taking out the bank loan. I mean, he's the perfect example of what farmers in America are having to do to keep their farms going. And he loves the film. And now, you know, he never said to me, oh, you were right, this is the way to do it. But what he does do is he sends us his produce, his organic produce, and he sends us photos of his organic vegetables. And, you know, I just think any farmer that is open to learning ways to sign, as Gabe Brown says, to sign the back of the check instead of the front of the check, Common Ground is for you. It's a safe space for anybody that's interested in having this conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. So what would you suggest, kind of being very farmer-centric, I think in this call, that's who we work with for the most part in Kansas Rural Center. What would you suggest as a first step for a farmer, say, I'm a soybean corn rotation farmer, I use Roundup Ready beans, but I'm ready to make a change. What's the first step?
Well, obviously the first step's watching Common Ground. But after that, you know, people are going to want more information. And there is more info on the website, but it's geared more toward a general audience. And I would say for people in the farming community, what is critical is to understand you don't have to give up your current set of, you know, planting practices per se. Most people who go down the regenerative path within the first year or 2 years, they're saving 50% savings because you get really specific about your fertilizer use. You get really specific about your inputs, and not everything that the co-op is selling is necessary to grow what you're growing. So we have plenty of farmers in the network who are, you know, corn on soy, who are beginning this pathway, who are saving significant amounts of money. I would say first things first, look up Gabe Brown's videos on YouTube. You know, watch Gabe Brown, watch his mentoring of how to do this. And the second thing is there's a great group called Understanding Ag, which is a group that Gabe started. Have a look at those guys and have a look at the Regenified protocol. All of those are tools in your tool belt to begin to go down this path. Again, you know, we're not telling people stop everything you've been doing for 50 years and just throw it out the window. But what we are seeing with the farmers that are watching this and that are doing this and the people we've filmed is, you know, again, there's still many of them doing traditional farming. They're still in commodities. They're still using the commodity crop insurance program, but they're getting smarter about their use of inputs. And generally what we see is people start using covers. They start planting a multi-species cover crop, and then they start intercropping. And then generally they get good results with that if they're doing it right, if they're listening to the information and they're getting coaching and they're learning. A lot of times we see people start to integrate a herd of animals go across the same field. And so it doesn't have to be all in one day. It doesn't even have to be all in one season, one planting season. And it doesn't even have to be the whole farm, right? A lot of folks will say, well, you know, I'm doing 1,000 acres of this, 2,000 acres of that. Let me take 50 acres in the back lot where no one can see what I'm doing. I don't want to be embarrassed. Understand, everybody looks, right? Neighbors are all watching. And I'll plant some multi-species cover crops, you know, and I'll play with a cover between my rotations, you know, and let me get one of those roller crimpers and I'll lay down the cover and I'll see how it works. And I'll plant into that laid down cover and I'll see if it doesn't reduce my Roundup needs and so on and so on. So it can be a ladder approach. It can be at the comfort level of the producer, of the farmer. And most folks, when they start to see results, they want to do more. Because they go, wow, that's the best yielding field. I got, you know, for my, you may not get the best amount of bushels out of that field, but for the dollars you put into that field, you're going to get the best ROI. And that's a big difference than how we're, you know, how agriculture is talked about. Oh, I got 120, but I got 140 bushels. Well, good. What did it cost you? What was your net? How much did you take home? Really? How much did you take? Now, how much did you take home without the commodity crop insurance program? You know? Mm-hmm. And so what regenerative farmers start to look at is they look at their net, their real net. And most people who get into this, after they're doing it for 3, 4, 5 years, they quit all the subsidies because they're making real cash. And when you operate on a cash basis, your view changes, right? You start wanting to make more cash versus just like, how do we check all the boxes at the bank for right. the next loan? And I think that's the real imperative is we're trying to show you know, again, Rebecca and I are not trying to teach anything. We're not agronomists. We're not farmers in the same way that you guys in Kansas are. Yes, we have a farm in California. It's small. We're not trying to show anything that is something that farmers aren't already doing. All we're doing as filmmakers is we're going, look, there's an awful lot of people who are making this work and they're making a lot more money. And ultimately our desire as filmmakers, as make, you know, this is the movie Common Ground we're talking about. It's premiering there in Kansas and we want everybody to go to the theater and see it. But the desire for making the film was to empower people who grow food to be debt-free, to be profitable, and to have a pathway to better soil health. So we don't want to take anything away from anybody. We want you to look at the farmers in the film, in the Common Ground film, and go, well, let me see. Check, he's in the Midwest. Check, he's farming corn and soy. Check, he's saving a lot of money. Check, oh, that's a pretty nice, you know, fancy. Oh, no loans. Oh, no subsidies. Wow, cash. Okay, it's just an opportunity to look at how to farm slightly differently that could give you a lot of benefits.
How do you feel farmers' mental health is impacted by the changes in farming practices? I would imagine perhaps it follows the trajectory of being quite stressful in the beginning because they're unknown and they're kind of exposed to the rest of their community is trying something new. But have you seen or have any stories about that?
We have. And I think that the mental health issue is something that we don't talk about enough when it comes to agriculture, all aspects of agriculture, everybody involved in food, right? Because food can be a really brutal industry, whether you're on the producer side or you're packaging or you're, you know, whenever you're directly working on this, it can be really hard mentally. I think we don't talk enough about the financial strain of the current system. You know, we see a lot of people leaving the farm, people who, you know, they want to be farmers, but they see what their parents are going through with debt. They see what their parents are going through with land struggles and land leases. And you know, we don't see a lot of young people returning to farming. And the average age of a farmer in the United States today is over 70 years old. So the average age should be 20, right? It should be 22, getting out of college, 23, 24. So we know that mentally, it's not an attractive proposition to the younger generation. And what we see with regenerative agriculture is the opposite. We see the average age of regenerative farmers is young. 20s and 30s. It's young people who see the profit potential. They want to try something new. They're willing to break away from the mold. And generally those folks, I'm not going to say every single one, but when Christine Morgan, who did the financial study that we reference in the film, where we say 88% of farmers practicing, not even regenerative, practicing soil health management practices, 88%, this is a very large study, we're making more money during the first year. Anecdotally, Christine will tell you, the number one thing that those farmers say has changed in their lives, their families. The number one thing, free time and their families. They are going to ball games. They are going to basketball games. They are going to not just home games, but away games, right? And they're there for the holidays. And that has a direct impact on their mental health and the mental health of their families. And she will tell you that straight to your face after studying hundreds and hundreds of traditional corn soy farmers in the Midwest. The number one change, yes, the data shows, yes, more than 8 out of 10, almost 9 out of 10 make more money. The number one change was mental well-being. happiness. So that's what we're trying to, you know, people are like, well, what are you trying to sell with Common Ground? We're not trying to sell anything. We're trying to, we got a film that shows a way that you can literally grow soil and still produce food. You can still feed the world, but people who do it are happier.
And the main voices of the film, I mean, this isn't us coming up with this idea. The film is a reflection and is the voice, the firsthand voice of farmers from the Midwest who are doing it and who have done it successfully and who want to share with other farmers the tools and the tips that they've learned as they've been making this transition. In fact, Gabe Brown, who really is the reason that we made this film in the first place, you know, he's a farmer from North Dakota, who has been doing regenerative agriculture now for a couple of decades. And, you know, he told us that for him, he had, you know, he prayed for 2 weeks on this before he really came forward and told his full story that's in the film Common Ground. For him, it was his purpose, as, you know, prescribed by God, to tell the story and to allow us to be the storytellers. And so it was a huge privilege for us to be able to work with him and for us to be able to find that common ground with him. You know, when you can take people who maybe don't have any understanding of the hardships of farming and to be able to take that message and make it accessible to everyone and really help farmers be understood where they've been so misunderstood for so long, and offer a kind of, you know, olive branch for a way out of the stress of everyday life on the farm. And that's really what Common Ground is.
Thank you both so much for your time. We're coming up to the end of our session here. I am wondering, we've talked a lot about farmers, so people who are living in more urban environments, what are you hearing from them? Sorry to
yeah, you know what? There's an opportunity for everyone to participate in our food system. So, you know, bees are thriving right now in cities because people have pollinators and they're growing all kinds of beautiful flowers. But there's an opportunity to not just grow flowers, but to participate and grow food too. If you live in an apartment, you can have a window box with a, you know, a planter box, and you can grow in your apartment, you can grow in your backyard, you can grow on your balcony. Let's get rid of all of that grass and let's start planting food in the medians between the sidewalk and the street. Let's create urban food forests. You know, let's have young people who are so disconnected from farming understand where their food comes from by getting their hands dirty and really understanding, you know, the power and the magic that growing food can be when we all participate in it.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Thank you both for your time. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we close?
Thank you so much for coming out to Liberty Hall on the 29th. And then also to Kansas City on the 1st, the Glenwood Arts Theater. There's going to be some incredible panelists there. I know Ray Archuleta is going to be there. I know Carrie Gillum is going to be there. I believe Elise Towie from the Iowa Tribe will be there. So a lot of people who are in the film are going to be there, talking about their experiences, and will be available to answer questions. And also, these events are just great community events to get inspired and to get connected.
Yeah, these people at the theater are resources. They have a lot of knowledge, and they've done this. They're, you know, Ray Archuleta worked for the USDA as an on-site guy, traveling around the country for decades. So, you know, folks, get to the theater and get Ray. Get in front of him and get questions out to him, because he is an absolute wealth of knowledge. Common Ground screening in Lawrence, Kansas, and Kansas City, coming right up November 29th and December 1st.
Very good. Thanks again, both of you. And I hope you
thank
enjoy
you.
The rest of your day and the rest of this press junket that you're on.
Thanks, Sean.
Appreciate it so
great
much.
To speak with you.
Have a great day. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, everyone. Last night was the Lawrence, Kansas showing, and you all showed up. Thank you for attending. I hope you were as inspired by the film as I was, and that you'll take the conversation beyond the screening. Contact us at info@KansasRuralCenter.org for guidance on getting started with farming, transitions, local food, etc., etc., we are here to help. Thanks for tuning into the podcast today. See the show notes for links from this conversation, and don't be a stranger. Subscribe to the podcast and to our newsletter to stay up to date with KRC's initiatives and to stay informed on what's going on in Kansas.